John chapter 14 is where my Bible's marked this morning. You can open up your Bibles there, John chapter 14. It will serve as a jumping off point for our lesson here in a few moments. I take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here this Lord's Day morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that we are a blood-bought people, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption in his blood, even the forgiveness of our sin. We believe that this book is the words of God, because it's the Bible. The Hebrew writer one time said in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 that God has spoken. He's spoken to us through his son Jesus Christ, through what we know of as the scripture. And this morning, as I bring forth my lesson today, I'll provide you a book, chapter, and verse from it, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things. I can't help but take a moment just to express publicly my personal heartfelt condolences to Mark and Lynn, the passing of Jerry Modlin. It's fitting that that song would be led. Our God, He is Alive. It was my favorite song growing up at Pekin. And the bass was always led by Brother Jerry, and always enjoyed hearing his voice, and he will be sorely missed in the kingdom of God. I appreciate so much Mark and Lynn not only being here, but Mark leading in our worship. It says a lot about him, and says a lot about Jerry and Sharon. And so just my personal heartfelt condolences to that family this morning. Story is told in the portrait of a son. A man and a son that he loved both had unique tastes and masterpieces, and they owned many paintings, Rembrandts, Picassos, Renoirs. And they enjoyed their evenings together as father and son, looking through those beautiful masterpieces. They would invite friends and family and others of the community to come and to peruse their little homemade museum. Passage of time, the son, thinking that he needed to do his duty for his country, went off and fought in the Vietnam War. While fighting in that war, one of his buddies was shot in a skirmish, and as he went to the battlefield to carry him off to safety, was shot and was killed. The man that he was carrying out of battle lived and went home to his parents. About a year later, the father received a knock at the door, and it was that man who his son had saved. And he told him of the story and the bravery of his son, and he said, I understand the love of father and a son, and his love certainly for you. And he spoke of your beautiful paintings that you enjoyed. And what the man had attempted to do with all the sincerity and love in his heart was to paint a portrait of the son. Now, this man was not a master. He was amateur at best. But the father loved the picture. He offered to purchase it from him, and he said, the man gave me my life. This is a gift. The father hung it in the most prominent place. And as the months went by, friends and family and those in the community who wanted to come and peruse his little homemade museum was first introduced and spent the most time showing him the portrait of his son. A few months later, the father died. At the estate sale, people from all over the world came to bid upon masterpieces. The first painting to be sold was the portrait of the son. To their great indignation, those who had come for the masterpieces grumbled and groaned, as the auctioneer could not get anyone to place a bid. Finally, someone out of frustration, saying, let's get on with this, said, I'll give you $5 for that picture. Going once, going twice, sold. And the conclusion of that, the auctioneer said, now the auction is over. What are the other masterpieces? What are all the beautiful things I've come around the world to place my bids upon? The auctioneer was asked. The auctioneer said, the will stipulated very clearly, whoever took the son received all the riches in here. There's an analogy in what Jesus has to say in John chapter 14 and verse 6. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by me. In a very real sense, what Jesus is telling you and telling me today is that he that takes the Son takes it all. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is just take a look at some of the things that Jesus has to say about himself. There are several I ams that Jesus speaks in regards to himself as the Son today. And I want to look at six of them for you and I here this morning for us to take a look at and to consider and to receive the invitation that the Son gives this morning. The first one in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. What I want you to appreciate is Jesus didn't say, I was a way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? God has always provided his people a way. And what I want you to understand here today is that the Son is the way. There is a way, the wise man says, that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are death. There are a number of ways out there today that you and I can peruse and consider. But there is only one way to true riches, and that is through Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, the wise man there says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Jesus is the standard by which we will judge. It is his words. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, choose ye the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I am the way. I am that straight and narrow way that leads from this low ground to heaven above. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. I want you to appreciate, first of all, Jesus says, I am the way. But also he says, I am the truth. I am the truth. In John 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You think about the context of the world, society there at that time. You had the mythological gods. You had the Greek gods. And you and I can travel around the world today to see the temples and the monuments that were built to all the man-made gods of the world. Jesus says, I am the truth. As you take a look at all the mythological stories about the gods and things of this nature, what in the world is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The untrue is reluctant, unfortunately, to come to the truth, those who aren't interested in the truth. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither do they come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought of God. Jesus said, I am the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ and his words are the truth. But he also said, I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life.
Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "And you he has made alive who were dead in your sins." Before Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Again in verse 5 of that same book and chapter, "Even when you were dead in your sins, he's made us alive together in Christ Jesus. I am the life." There is no other way to life than through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," John 10 and verse 10. "For this very reason that I come into the world, that you might have life." And you hear all the world today promising you life, real life, happy life, joyous life. There is only one life, and that is Jesus Christ. Many other things John said that he did that I didn't write in this book, but these things were written, John 20 and verse 31, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have life in his name. Jesus Christ is the life. Paul, or Peter, calls him the Prince of Life. I love Jesus' statement of himself in Revelation 1 and verse 18 when he says, "I am he that lives. I was dead, but I am now alive, and I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of Hades and death. I am the way, I am the truth." And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the life. If you want life, real life, eternal life, it's only found in one place, and that's in the Son. He also says, "I am the good shepherd," in John chapter 10 and verse 14. "I am the good shepherd." We talked a little bit about the idea of the good shepherd last week. Jesus said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling flees from the wolf because the hireling cares not for the sheep. Jesus cares for you and I. The Son cares for you and me. "I come and I give my life," he says, "for my sheep. I lay down the life for my sheep," in verse 15 of John chapter 10. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 of this great shepherd, he says, "Now when the chief shepherd, Jesus, shall appear, we shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. I am the good shepherd, and I shepherd my sheep, and I love my sheep, and I give my life for my sheep." We sang a few moments ago the words of Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." That is, I shall not lack any good thing. "He leads me beside the still waters. He puts me in the pastures of green. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because the good shepherd is with me. His rod and his staff, they do comfort me. He prepares a table for me before mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because Jesus is my shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He who takes the Son really does take it all. He says, "I am the vine." In John 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Jesus provides the spiritual sap for our spiritual nourishment. As long as we abide in the vine, we shall be fruit-bearing children of God. In abiding in him is a prerequisite to an answered prayer. In John 15 and 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Bearing much fruit brings honor and glory to God. Not to ourselves, but to God. How do I bring honor and glory? By bearing much fruit. How do I bear much fruit? By abiding in the vine. "I am the vine," Jesus said. "You're the branches. You get all of your nourishment, all your direction, all your growth, all your health, all your life through me. I am that vine. And as you consider that and you think about an application for you and I today, we preach His gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of God hath not God. But he that abideth in that doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. He that taketh the Son taketh it all. I am the vine. And so I'll preach His gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I don't preach that because that's quote unquote Church of Christ doctrine. I preach that because that's what the vine's provided. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. That means that I will worship God as God has stipulated. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers of God shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. For such seeketh the Father to worship Him. For the Father is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 23 through 24. I am the vine. You're the branches. That means I will worship as God has taught me and told me to worship. That means I will evangelize. Go into the world, the vine says, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, the vine says, to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And that means that we will love one another. We will love our fellow man, and we will love our brethren, because He is the vine, and we are the branches. A new commandment, Jesus said in John 14, and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, even so ye should love one another. And by this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me will bear much fruit. And finally, I want you to see this. I am the Son. The Jews, Jesus is speaking to in John 10 and verse 33, says, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." And Jesus answered and said to them, "You say thou blasphemest, because I said, I am." I am what, Lord? I am the Son of God. John 10 and verse 36. Most of the time in Jesus' ministry, you'll see Him refer to Himself as the Son of Man. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. "But God calls Him my Son." The psalmist wrote in Psalms 2 and verse 7, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." When Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3 and verse 17, the voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration in front of Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17 and verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." It was the centurion who saw all that Jesus did upon the cross, said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." It was His disciples who saw Him be able to speak, and the waves were calm, and the storms deceased, to say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." It was who Paul wrote of in Romans 1 and verse 4, "Declared He with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead." I am the Son of God. The application. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. He said, "The Father judgeth no man, but has given all judgment to the Son." John 5 and verse 22. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, the hour is coming when all those that are dead in the grave shall hear my voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of everlasting life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I am the Son of God." Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. I am the Son of God. It's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment." Jesus describes himself in this way on a number of occasions, but I wanted to show you these six in particular. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And I am the Son of God." The application. Jesus said, "No man come to the Father but by me. He that taketh the Son takes it all." You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to words of Jesus. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You can do that here today. Maybe it is, John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." We're here ready, willing, and able to help you in any way the Lord will allow to help you to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. And we extend the Lord's invitation unto you right now. And we sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now as we stand and sing.
Oh, heart, God, there was sorrow.